You would go ahead and open your Bibles and join me in this next act of worship and study of God's Word. And we'll be going over 1 John chapter 4 and verses 17 through 19 in a more expository study. You ever been afraid of something in life? Well, everyone say yes. You ever been terrified of something in life? Well, everyone say yes. Terrified, and this word fear means different things in different places of Scripture. The one that we'd read here in 1 John chapter 4, 17 through 19, specifically there in verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. That fear that we're going to be talking about here is not talking about the respectful fear of God that we should have as children of God, as people in general, as human beings. This type of fear is talking about a terrified type fear, a terror-filled fear, which for us as Christians should not be the case, as we're saved by God, as God wants us to love and fear Him, to respect Him, but not in a terror-type way. Those who would need to be afraid of God, but obviously those who need to be afraid of His wrath because of the judgment day coming, that they won't have salvation through Jesus Christ. That type of fear, obviously, of God, in that way that they choose to stay in their sin and be separated from God, yes, there'd be terror in that, and there should be. But otherwise than that, a child of God should not have a terror-type fear of God. God's perfect love casts out terror-type fear is what this is getting at here. And so, again, two different types of fear. First of all, how do we as Christians fear our God? Some Christians literally think that they need to fear God in a terrified way. They need to literally like be scared of Him. Yes, God is almighty. Yes, God is all-powerful. But we don't need to fear Him as if He's going to do something bad or something evil to us. As we know, our God is all-good, is all-loving, is all-graceful, is all-merciful. Such would not make sense for Him to do such a thing to us. But God, of course, giving judgment, giving justice, whenever the judgment day comes, is something that is also good. And that terror that people should have of God should only be if they're choosing to live in sin. And so, making that very clear, and think about all the kinds of fears that you may have in this life. We're not just necessarily talking about the terror-type fear that we may have of God, that's not proper, but also other types of fear that we might have. All of us are scared of things. If I was to turn off the light right now, probably 99% of people in here would probably have an immediate notion of fear. An immediate thing is, you know, I'm scared now. I don't know what just happened. I'm concerned. Well, allowing ourselves to be controlled by fear is really what I'm getting at. Allowing ourselves to be, you know, manipulated, controlled by the fears that are the terror-type fears that we might have in this life, and they might direct our lives are the things that we really need to be careful of as Christians. When we lose someone in life, when we go through terrible situations, and we pray to God all the time, we should be as Christians, but we go through terrible situations, terrible trials, we need to be careful that fear that happens in those times, which is natural, doesn't control us, doesn't become overwhelming to the point where we let it control us. We need to remember that we have God on our side. We need to remember that we have Jesus on our side, that we have salvation, that we have hope, that we have the love of God. And we shouldn't be afraid of anything if we have God. And we'll go through all those verses as we go through this. I'd ask you to first read verse 17 there with me, again, as we're going to take this expositorily. 1 John 4 and verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. So let's talk about that for a little bit. That phrase, has been perfected, or made perfect, depending on your version, both are fitting, means made complete without any flaw. The original Koine Greek language actually reads as this, in this, the love is made perfect with us. A perfect passive verb there. This suggests cooperation with God. You are doing something in this love with God, or, and for God. In other words, we as human beings ought to cooperate with God's will through Jesus Christ for God's love to be perfected in us. And so, working with God as God works with us, this is where many denominations get confused or decide to make different doctrines or change doctrines, and they say, we don't need to work with God, God just needs to work with us. They won't come out and say that. That's how they live their lives as so-called Christians. And so, this is cooperation with God. The love has been perfected because we're doing something about it. God works with mankind, we should work with God as well. It's a mutual workmanship in the relationship between God and mankind. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, which many of our denominational friends would tear out of the Bible, is one of the passages where workmanship with God is very taught. In Matthew 25 and verses 34 through 40 is another passage where workmanship with God is very taught. Not just faith alone, but faith with works is very clearly taught. Jesus and James taught those things. Obviously, it was completely taught by the Scriptures there in the New Testament. When God dwells in our lives, because we have walked in His ways, because we do walk in His ways, we abstain from darkness, we tend to become more and more like God in righteousness. We tend to become more pure, more holy. We tend to become more so abstaining from darkness, not even hardly being tempted by some forms of darkness, because we're trying all the more to be like God. We're trying to strive for perfection as Jesus did. Will we ever achieve it? Absolutely not. We will never achieve perfection as Jesus did, because we're not God. We can't die on the cross for the sins of all mankind. We're a mankind that likes to sin sometimes, and that's our fault. But nonetheless, Jesus conquered death for us, conquered against sin for us, and so we have Him as our through way. But we are to be good. We are to grow, which is required in the Christian's walk with God. We must strive all the more to be growing in Christ every day. The love of Jesus Christ and His perfect doctrine, the way of life, leads one boldly to what, as verse 17 says? Boldly to the day of judgment, boldly to the throne of God, boldly to the throne of grace. It leads one boldly there without flaw. The love of Jesus Christ, again, if you look very clearly in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obviously, love plays a role simultaneously with following God's will. God wants us to survive the judgment. God doesn't want to destroy us. God doesn't want to punish us. He wants all to be saved, John 3:16. Very clearly, 1 Timothy chapter 1 or chapter 2. He wants all to be saved. He wants everyone to find Jesus Christ. He wants everybody to be saved by His will. This is the same concept as long as we sincerely repent of our sins and walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. To walk in that same light that Jesus did and does. That is, God is faithful and just through Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness continuously. 1 John chapter 1, 7 through 9 is where you will find that. 1, 7 through 9 says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, the word also continuing here, the word boldness here means confidence or courage. And so we have boldness because we live in the love of Jesus Christ, because that love has been perfected, because we did something about it. We did something about the love that God showed to us, and we chose to love Him back. We chose to follow His commandments as Christians. We chose to become Christians and follow His commandments. And now we have boldness in the day of judgment. And because as He is, so are we in this world. If we face God in the day of judgment, knowing that we've not loved or kept His commandments, knowing that we've not loved our fellow men as we talked about today, knowing that we've not loved our enemies, knowing that we chose to hate people, that we chose to hate our brethren, if we face God in that day, obviously, we're not going to have much confidence. Here's an example. Whenever you take a test, if you go to college and you take a test and you're not very prepared for it, you didn't study all night, you didn't study a week before, whatever, you go to the test, you're not very confident taking the test, yes, but after you get done with the test, what are you waiting for? You're waiting for the results back. You're not going to be very confident whenever, as far as those results being an A+ or an A or a B, whatever. You might be confident in the contrary, it being much lower. Because you did nothing to prepare. Because you did nothing to follow in the track of what that test wanted you to follow. It's the same exact thing with this love being perfected among us as Christians. We must follow exactly what the will of God says in the New Testament. It's very clear. It's very simple what we're supposed to do as Christians. Following a command and example of Jesus Christ and what He said and taught. And what His disciples there said by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's very clear. If we love, keep the commandments of God, walk in the light, etc., we have no need to fear God in a terrified type way, because God is on our side, because we have fellowship with God, because we have a home with God in heaven, as Jesus promises in John 14:1-4. Any outcomes in our life that cause a sense of terror, we can overcome those things with the love of God, with the love of Jesus Christ, with the hope that He gives, with the understanding that we have of God being with us. Now that last phrase there in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17, excuse me. Love has been perfected because as He is, so are we in this world. It's a very simple statement. It just simply means in context, we are in this world to make known Jesus Christ. As He came to seek and save the lost to the corruption, you know, He came to save those who were lost from the corruption and death of sin, so do we. So do we as Christians. We're to save ourselves, and then with the ability and commission God gave us in His Word to do so, we try and save others through Jesus Christ also. Turn over in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 17. John 17, 14 through 19. Jesus explains it best here when He prays for those who were and those who would be His followers. He prayed to the Father for the spiritual sanctity of all who would become Christians here. Again, that's John chapter 17. Put your marker there in 1 John. John 17, verses 14 through 19. It says there, verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify them, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. And so, we must be sanctified apart from the world. That love is perfected in us when we're different as Christians. Whenever somebody gets angry in the room, we don't respond and get angry back in the way that in the worldview might instruct. The worldview says, survival of the fittest. The worldview says, if somebody punches you in the face, you punch them back. Whenever a Christian is punched in the face, maybe you might think before you go ahead and punch back and start this giant problem, this giant thing, you might think, well, maybe I can talk with them first. Maybe I need to step away instead of fight back. You know, maybe there's different scenarios, everything, you know, the different situations might happen. But still, a Christian would try to seek to save someone and love someone first. That's the key. That's the priority. Everyone else would punch the guy right back in the face. Okay, but what are some other options? Think first about it. And maybe there's not an option. Maybe there's not a choice. Maybe the guy's coming at you and there's nothing you can do except defend yourself. Okay? But again, try to see if you can love that person first in the way of maybe trying to reason with them or take care of them. Don't respond as he did. Don't respond as she did. But try to see if you can extend the love of Jesus even so. Love your enemies. Now, 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 through 19, we're going to continue to this next section. That first section there I just wanted to cover, but the specific one I really wanted to cover here was verse 18. There's no fear in the love of God and Christ. There's no fear in love. The word fear here in the English, again, is not the fear in the sense of reverence or respect. It's the word fear for faithless dread and terror. And it is opposite of the boldness of verse 17 that we just went through. If you have this fear going before God, or thinking about the judgment day, or thinking about the salvation you have in Jesus Christ, if you have that fear and you're that scared about whether or not you'll go to heaven, there's a problem. There's an issue. There may be a sin in your life, or you may just not be confident as you should be in Jesus Christ as is taught in the Scriptures to be. And so we're not to have this terrified type fear, but rather a respectful fear. Confidence in Christ excludes this kind of fear for God that is terrified or anything else as Christians. We're to have a healthy fear and respect for God Almighty, for He's great and wonderful. He's all righteous. He's ever graceful. He's ever merciful and loving. We're to fear God and keep His commandments, as Ecclesiastes 12, 13 through 14 says, yes. If you go over to Psalm 111 in verse 10, it says there, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Again, that's Psalm 111 and verse 10. New Testament supporting passages as well that we can read there in 2 Corinthians 7, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. We as Christians perfect holiness and the fear of God is one passage. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. If you go over to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21, certainly there's many more scriptures that we could look at while talking about this. Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting to one another in the fear of God, very plainly, very small. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Philippians 2 and verse 12. If you need any of these scriptures, again, I'd always be happy to give any of those to you after services today. Philippians 2 and verve 12. I know I go kind of fast sometimes. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so submitting to one another in the fear or respect of God, Ephesians 5, and then we're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So obviously, we're to have fear. What kind of fear? It's not the terror type fear. Well, where can we see that fear talking about terror? 2 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11 is the most excellent place, or one of the most excellent places that we can be guided here. Where can we see the difference between these words for fear and the word here, 2 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11? See the context most importantly. 5, 9 through 11 says, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well-known to God. And I also trust are well-known in your consciousness, in your consciences. Excuse me. That terror of the Lord there, it seems Paul is really not applying that to himself or to those with him. He's rather applying it to those who would not know God, to those who are the contrary to Paul and those with him being well known to God. The contrary would be those who are not well known to God. And the terror of the Lord would apply to them. But the judgment seat of Christ should not be scary to us as Christians. We should approach it boldly. Hebrews also puts a very heavy emphasis on us being able to approach that throne boldly and being able to not be afraid of that, that even Jesus can sympathize with our weaknesses. God understands. God is omniscient. He does understand our hearts and He can see through us. As far as the judgment of God, fear involving torment or punishment as described here in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18 is there talking about, again, that type of dread fear is talking about that anticipation of the punishment that's expected in the future. Also includes torment in the present, perhaps, that is being guilt. So there's different meanings you could see there as far as that. But again, a terror type fear, and so not respectful speaking. Why should we have respect for God? Why should we have respect for God? Because God should be first in our life. Not some celebrity, not some politician, not some religious leader, not some theorist, not some theologian. God should be first in our life. He should be the one who says yes and no. He should be the one who says this is morality, this is immorality. God should be the one who, of course, we respect, we love, we trust. You can't exactly trust someone or be very confident in someone that you think is going to strike you down in 1 second, that you think is going to be mean to you. You trust your enemies like you do? Maybe your friends? Obviously not. God is your friend as a Christian. God is in fellowship with you. God is your Father. He's not going to strike you down with a lightning bolt. He's not going to strike you down if you're living the Christian life on the judgment day. God is going to save you, and He wants to save us. He extended love all throughout time to mankind, and He's doing it today through Jesus Christ. We have no reason to fear being in fellowship with God as Christians or on the side of God. However, one can be completely confident in every form of life, so as they walk according to God's commandments and behaviors through Jesus Christ. But if somebody doesn't do that, obviously they have reason to fear in such a way. If one loved God with all of their heart, we read those scriptures this morning. I really meant for these scriptures to work right alongside each other as they are even in passage. Why would they fear God as their judge if they love God with all their heart? Very simply put, what we just said, They should rather be confident, as the epistles teach, to approach the throne of God on the judgment day. Confident in their place of heaven. Confident that they have a home in heaven through Jesus. It shouldn't be a question unless there's a sin in that person's life that maybe is causing them guilt. And then the last part of that verse 18, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Let's just read the passage again. 1 John 4 and verse 18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. If a man is filled with doubt, if a man is filled with suspicion, if a woman is filled with dread, they'll not have a completed or perfect love. They don't have that. They're filled, and their first priority in their life and what's controlling them is that fear, is that worry. One of the things and one of the teachings that Jesus tried to teach his disciples was not to worry about things so much, not to worry about tomorrow, not to worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Worry about today. Tomorrow, worry about its own troubles. And we'll go over that in a couple passages later. But Jesus tried to teach not to let fear and not to let that worry of things in the world control you to the point even where you let it control you past following the will of God and having your hope in God and having sanity, really. We can have anxieties and depressions, friends, that can just destroy your mind, can destroy your, everything. Those people in the mental hospital sometimes once used to be, completely normally talking people, sane people. But they had some terrible thing happen to them. Maybe it's PTSD, a veteran, something like that happened to them, or maybe a catastrophic event that happened in their life, and it just messes their brain up. And it can mess their brain up too, or, maybe if they let it. Some of them don't have the ability to let it, I understand that. But sometimes we, even in our life, have a tragic event happen, have somebody be mean to us, be a bully to us, and it really affects us. As a preacher, this is something I got to be careful with, as a young preacher. I've had it happen to me a few times because of my age. And I've got to be really, really careful to not let those types of fears get to me. And likewise, Christians, you can't let people get to you like that and take you away from Christ and even make you not act as you should be as far as being a Christian. And so one who fears has not been made perfect in that love of God. The love of God is something that's gentle, something that's patient, something that's graceful, merciful, and all those different things, all things of righteousness. We should not have those doubts, those suspicions, that dread, even about each other as brethren. We shouldn't give reasons to each other to have that either. But if we have all those things, and maybe even about God more so ultimately, that He's going to do something to us or that we're not going to make it past judgment, yeah, there's a problem. That we've not been made perfect in love. We should have faith in our God and His ability to deliver. Hebrews 11:6. If I lose, somebody very important in my life, I should have faith in God that He's going to deliver me, that He's going to take care of me even so. If I lose somebody, absolutely tragic, I should have faith as far as that goes. We should not doubt in God as Christians. James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. And we went through that just last Sunday, and so I encourage you to read that again if you can on your own time. We should not fear what men can do to us, but rather have respect for God and His justice, that He'll punish the ones that continually refuse to repent and continually persecute the righteous. Turn over to Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. We'll say a few more things, and then we'll be finished here. Matthew 10, 28, if you will. But again, it's that lesson of let God be the judge. A lot of times we want to be the judge, and a lot of times we want to say, I'm going to take this guy out right. I'm going to show him what for, We as human beings sometimes want to say that. We want to do that. I understand that. I've done that before too. But we've got to remember that God is the judge, and we've got to love that person all the same. Matthew 10, 28 says there, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Continue there with me. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? Not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. Therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Jesus, again, assuring His disciples, assuring the children of God, and assuring those who would be children of God, would-be's, that you should not fear whenever you have God on your side. You shouldn't worry to the point where it controls your life. And some people, again, some Christians, let it control them terribly. to where it affects their family, to where it affects everything in their life, every form of their life. They can't go to work anymore. They can't do anything. They can't talk to anybody. You got to be careful, brethren, because once you start it, and I understand things can be really, really hard. I do. But if you can control it, and it's an ability if you can. Sometimes it's not controllable. I understand that. But if you can, try as hard as you can to remember that God loves you, that there's hope for you in Jesus Christ, that you can make it through it, whatever it is. Have faith in God and understand it's not the end of the world. And that better things will come, whether it's in this life or the next. Better things will come. We've got to have faith in our Almighty God. If you need to remember God's powerfulness, how amazing He is, go outside. Look at the stars. Look at the beautiful sky. Go outside and look at nature. Look at the amazing things that God did for us. The amazing love He put just in His creation, in His design of the creation around us. And it was Jesus that did that even, our Savior. Think about the wonder of God. Everything's perfect. Everything's perfectly placed. I saw in a picture the other day, it was a piece of glass that this guy took, and he had a shock of lightning go into it. And that lightning sprouted up through the glass and shattered that glass, but it didn't shatter it in the sense that it's broken. It showed a lightning tree, basically, like some lightning scars that people would get on their skin. And it just shows me the magnificence of God. It just shows one, the design. It looked like a literal tree. If I look at a universe sometimes through these scopes that they have today, if I look at things in space, sometimes it looks like the human eye. Sometimes it looks like a butterfly, literally, some galaxies in space. It's beautiful how awesome our God is, the design that He does. You can't say that came from chance unless you're intellectually dishonest. You can't. Again, God is a wonderful God. We've got to trust in Him. We've got to trust in Him. We have a lot of problems with that sometimes, Christians, and I do. I really do sometimes. But we've got to trust in Him. This is a lesson to me just as much as it is to all of us. Psalm 118 and verse 6 is another passage. Psalm 118 and verse 6, I'm going to give you a few here. You may turn to them if you want to on your own time. Hebrews 13 and verse 6, Isaiah 41 and verse 10, and Isaiah 51 and verse 12. And there's many more as far as not fearing what men can do to us, having respect for God, however, and understanding that God will distribute justice. He'll punish the ones that persecute. He'll punish the ones that refuse to repent. He'll punish the devil and the false prophet. Let God be the judge. Continue boldly to live and example your life as a righteous person in Jesus Christ. And live according to His doctrine today. And you can continue living in that perfected love here that we see in 1 John 4, 17 through 19. That perfected love that has no reason to be terrified of God in such a way. Has no reason to be terrified of anything else in this life in such a way. If somebody was to hold a gun to my head and do any horrible thing like that, I'd have a reason to be scared. Because if the guy decides to pull the trigger or whatever, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to go to heaven. Got to have that mindset. Terrible things like that, to that level, can happen in our life in an instant. And you won't be ready for it unless you remember that God will take care of you even after this life. So the idea, again, I'm trying to urge you, is to be ready for those moments. Be ready for those catastrophes that can happen in life. Did catastrophes happen in Jesus Christ? Yes, they did. Whenever He was on the earth, they hung Him on a cross. They tried to stone Him. They tried to kill Him. They tried to do all types of things to Jesus and to His followers. He never promised that we wouldn't go through a horrible, sin-riddled world. And that's mankind's fault. That's our fault. All of us are guilty of having sin in our life. God made this world perfect. It's man's fault. Again, remember that. But we still have free will. And God is still with us even so. And even if God doesn't deem fit that we live another day on this earth, we'll live another day in heaven with God. And we'll live an eternity in heaven with God. Paradise. And so really what I'm trying to urge to us today is with these scriptures is that a Christian, a child of God, should be controlled by, motivated by, and led by God only. Not by a celebrity again, not by some big figure. By God, not by a fear, not by a catastrophe that happened in your life. Only seeing that one catastrophe that happened in your life and not all the other things. Some people, like myself, we go about day to day and we get frustrated about the silliest things. The silliest, most simple things. And I don't realize that I've still got hands. And I don't realize that I've still got legs that I can walk with. And I don't realize that I've still got eyes that I can see everybody here with. I don't realize that I've got a mouth so I can speak. Whenever there's mutes in the world, there's people that are deaf, there's people that are paraplegics, quadriplegics, that can't walk, can't get up, do anything. There's people with mental issues. And we've got these beautiful human bodies that are capable of so much that God gave us to work with. And we're worried about the silliest things, afraid of the silliest things. And we've got to be careful not to let those things control us again. Again, if we choose to live fearing and terrified in this way, and that is the terror-filled way, against what Jesus clearly taught in Matthew 10, 27 through 30, we fear and terror and have not been made perfect in the love of our God, but are currently controlled and being ruled by our fears and perhaps our worries. The only thing a Christian should be controlled by is God. First thing is God. The first thing in our life should be God. Our mindset should be spiritual first in God's morality. We love Him because He first loved us. That's our last statement in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. Literally said there, God has always been the first one to show love. Think about this for a moment. Try to reflect in history. He's always been the first one to extend love, to extend mercy, to extend grace. He's always been the one to give mankind another chance, 1,000 chances. Billion chances. God's always been the one to give love. He's always been the one to say, I love you. Even so, we choose to sin. God's always been the one. He's been the first one to initiate love, grace, and familyship. God allows us to have familyship with Him, with His beautiful church, even being in the church. He allows us to have these things, and He extends it towards mankind, John 3:16 and Romans 5 and verse 8. Even while we were still sinners, Romans 5:8, Christ died for us. God has always given far more to mankind than mankind could ever repay back to God. It's not a matter of loving God and therefore obligating God. We can't ever do so. We are always in debt to God. Yet God chooses to allow us to live our free will lives, live in sin or to live in righteousness. If there's any obligation, it's not on God's part, but it's on our part as His responding creation. And so remember today not to let those fears control you. Remember today not to let a fear of God in a terror-type way ever happen in your life as a Christian. Don't ever be afraid of God in the sense that He's going to destroy you in the judgment. If you're living your life faithfully as a Christian according to the commandments of Jesus Christ and the behaviors of Jesus Christ, you're fine. You're safe, spiritually speaking. You should be confident in that. I should be confident in that, unless there's a sin in our life that is currently corrupting us. Or maybe a plurality of sins. Don't let those fears control you. Remember that God is with you if you're living your life as a Christian as you should be. Don't hate your brethren today, as we talked about. Love your brethren. Love all the church. We're a family. We're a family. We're to love each other, and we're all going to be in heaven together someday. And don't allow yourself to be ruled by a terror-type fear. Allow yourself to be ruled by a respect for God and keeping God's commandments. So has God and Jesus Christ's love made you perfect and confident to approach even the throne of God if Jesus were to come back today? That's a question to all of us. And if not, if there's a sin in your life that you might be being affected by guilt right now because of, you need to get that right with God, get rid of that sin. Please allow us to pray with you and do so now. If there's any other prayers for encouragement or anything that you might have need of, we really don't have many people come for the invitations. We really don't. And I'm used to a lot of people come for the invitations from KE, and that's okay. That's fine. People can pray in their own time. That's fine. But just prayers for encouragement, if you ever need it. You know, you're not always coming up to the pew here just to pray for forgiveness of sins. If you need a prayer for encouragement, if you need prayers for anything, somebody, maybe going through something, please allow us to pray with you, to take care of you. If you're not a Christian, then how do I be perfected in the love of God? I need to become a Christian. I need to live the life that Jesus wants me to live, that He taught us to live through His Word, through the Word of God. I need to believe that Jesus is the Christ. I need to repent of my sins. I need to confess Jesus as the Christ before men. I need to be baptized into water for remission of sins and to be added to the church. And I need to remain faithful unto my death that I might receive the crown in heaven, that I might receive help, the home in heaven, the beautiful mansions Jesus talked about. How do I do that? I have to have that love of Jesus Christ, of God, perfected in me by following His commandments, by respecting God, not with a terror type fear, but having a fear, a respect for God, a healthy fear, a good fear that certainly not has anything, nothing to do with terror. If there's anyone that has any need today, the invitation is always available for you. Come to the front as we stand and sing to our God together.